thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Jesus Christ is the new and the living way. And you can find these studies on abideinchrist.com. 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 And go to the Bible studies and sermons and click on Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through 25, Jesus Christ is the new and the living way. The new and the living way into the presence of a holy God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of all that has been accomplished for us by Jesus Christ, we can now confidently approach the Lord God in worship. Each time the writer of Hebrews stresses the saving work of Christ, he makes explicit statements about the blood of Jesus Christ. It was not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. How much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 and 14. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he is sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. So therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Now the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the new covenant, even Jesus our Lord, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. All of these passages powerfully stress the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for the sinner. So therefore, there is no other way into God's presence. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Well, how then shall we live since we have explored these great theological truths in the book of Hebrews? We are invited to enter into the true heavenly sanctuary. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 21, So therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. The holy place is the innermost sanctuary of the Holy of Holies. It is the place where God dwells in heaven. Our great high priest intercedes in the presence of God on behalf of the believer in the most holy place. So he invites us to enter with boldness. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and confidence, access through faith in him, in Jesus Christ. Jesus has entered into heaven as our forerunner, and we can now draw near to God through him. We have full assurance to enter because our confidence rests on the all-sufficiency of Christ's death. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. That is the bold confidence God gives the believer in Christ. The basis of this boldness is the fact that God is faithful to his promises. We can take confidence in his word because his word has never failed. The blood of Jesus Christ is emphasized. The bold entrance is only by means of the blood of Jesus. So the atoning sacrifice of Jesus is the vicarious penal atoning sacrifice that covers the believer's sins. And this is the stress all through the book of Hebrews. We have a new and living way into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not the old covenant with its shadows and types. Christ has opened up a new and a living way by means of his death and resurrection. It is the new covenant, which will never become old and obsolete. It issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is eternal life, and he gives eternal life. And so we enter in through the veil of his flesh. The old covenant shut sinful man out from the Holy of Holies. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered within the veil by means of the sacrifice. And the sinner was excluded, but now the way is open through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. At the very moment Christ died, the curtain was torn from top to the bottom. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And moreover, the body of Jesus Christ was torn. His blood was shed, and the way was open for us to enter into God's presence. We have full assurance into his presence by means of the broken body of Jesus Christ. Christ removed the veil between God and his people. Here, the author of Hebrews equates the torn curtain of the temple with the flesh of Jesus. The new and the living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh in verse 20. In a symbolic way, the flesh of Jesus is identified with the veil of the tabernacle. It kept sinful men out and was also the means of entering into the presence of the Lord God. Through his flesh he opened the way for us into a holy God. The barrier that kept sinful man out of the presence of God was torn apart, and now we boldly enter into his presence by means of that shed blood at Calvary. And by means of his incarnation, Jesus Christ made the perfect and final sacrifice for sin. By means of the sacrifice of Jesus, we have full entrance into the Holy of Holies. We have a great high priest who has gone before us and opens the door wide open. Our great high priest is the very one who opened up the way into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 tells us, "And therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Remember, Moses was faithful as a servant, but Jesus is faithful son over the house of God in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. Our great high priest has opened up the way into the sanctuary of God because he is the eternal Son of God. The writer of Hebrews has stressed that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. He is our great high priest. The stress is on the superlative greatness of Jesus Christ as our high priest. There is none to be compared to Jesus. So therefore he says, let us draw near to God. We are exhorted to approach God's throne of grace with confidence and prayer. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, and having our hearts sprinkled clean from my evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We come with a sincere heart, the writer of Hebrews tells us. A sincere heart is one that has singleness of purpose. We are to approach him in honest, genuine, wholesome dependence upon him without deceitfulness. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, has the same idea as this passage of Scripture here. Every born-again believer enjoys this freedom of access into God's presence. And if we have singleness of heart, we experience full assurance of his presence. the writer of Hebrews is encouraging his readers to simple trust in God's great provision and His grace. The heart is the control center of the being. It's the core of our personality. The Christian believer's heart is sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. We can now freely approach the Lord God at His throne of grace because our conscience is clean. We are forgiven of sin by the work of Jesus Christ. Christ has removed forever the guilt that keeps the sinner from enjoying the presence of the Lord God. So we're to come with full assurance of faith, he tells us. Our faith needs to be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ in unwavering trust. We have confidence and assurance in our approach to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:25 tells us, "And He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them." What a great God and Savior we have in a great High Priest. We are absolutely secure because of our great High Priest interceding on our behalf. And we come with hearts sprinkled clean. Only the heart that is sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ can enjoy this entrance into the presence of a holy God. The imagery is the Old Testament priests consecrating themselves by washing with water and the sprinkling the blood of the sacrifice. We have been cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hearts have been purged of all sin by the blood of Jesus once for all. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He saves us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, says the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Water, because it cleanses, is indicative of the Holy Spirit, wrote Thomas Aquinas. We have the water, the Word, and the blood that cleanses. We see the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the blood of Jesus working together to provide a great salvation. The Word of God sanctifies as the Holy Spirit applies the atoning sacrifice to the believer. The great truth of this passage is the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Water is simply a visible sign of the inward and the spiritual cleansing that God accomplished by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This passage is not teaching that we're saved by faith in Christ plus water baptism. We are saved by Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection alone. It's never Christ plus something else, no matter how religious sounding it may be. We're saved by Jesus Christ alone. Faith in atoning sacrifice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, the author of Hebrews tells us, let us hold fast our confession of hope in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, he tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The writer has already told us to hold fast our confession in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. The new covenant of Christ is the ground of this better hope. And the new and better hope is the new and better covenant has a unique and better high priest with a perfect sacrifice that covers all sin and therefore provides a better hope for those who come to Christ for salvation. The confession of the early church was, Jesus is Lord. No one can be saved without confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If he is not your Lord, he is not your Savior. Old John Calvin said, the hope is the child of faith and is nourished and sustained by faith to the end. Hope looks to the future. Our hope is centered upon God's faithfulness. We focus our eyes upon Jesus, and in him we have salvation, righteousness, eternal life, and assurance that on that great day of the resurrection we'll be with him for all eternity. We will experience that hope fully when Jesus Christ returns in glory. Well, the author of Hebrews tells us we can have this confidence because God is faithful. God has demonstrated himself faithful down through history. Peruse through the Old Testament and see his sustaining grace and provision for his chosen people. He has been and is faithful to all his promises. He himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The prophet Isaiah said, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you, in Isaiah 49:7. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you, says the Lord God, in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Can God forget his child? Never, never. That was also the testimony of the Apostle Paul when he wrote, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. 2 Corinthians 1:18. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from evil one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul says literally, but to him who is able above all things to do exceedingly above. It means to exceed some number or measure over and above, more than necessary. He adds the idea of exhaustlessness. Our great God and Savior provides beyond all things, superabundantly, over and above all that we need to accomplish his eternal purpose. He is faithful. He is faithful even when we are not faithful. I could go on with many more verses from both the Old and the New Testament. I think you get the idea. God is faithful. And now he encourages us to go on and to build up one another in that faith. He tells us in verses 20 through to 24, stimulate one another to love. In verses 22 through 24, the author exhorts his readers to faith, hope, and love. And the Apostle Paul stressed this same theme in several of his letters. God demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son to die for us while we were still sinners. We love him because he first loved us. And moreover, we have come to know him and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in his love abides in God, and God abides in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul observed that the church at Corinth was a selfish, unloving, divisive church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It was full of divisions and competitiveness. Self-love in any congregation breeds dissension. The I, me, mine, get all I can get from myself attitudes in the great American dream is destroying churches. And the American evangelical churches have been sold a bad bill of goods by a lot of false doctrine during the last 25 years. And the tragedy is that it's tearing churches up and the devil is having a great time. The evangelical churches need to get back to biblical priorities and sound teachings on how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Here's how Jesus said it. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the foremost commandment. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Encourage one another. Lack of love for the Lord God and His disciples is demonstrated by forsaking and dissembling with other believers in worship and Bible study. It's an indication of the self-love and self-centeredness instead of agape love for the Lord God. As believers in Christ, we do have a responsibility for every member of our churches. It is our responses individually to reach out to one another and love and give encouragement to faithfully serve Christ. In every church where I've pastored, I've used encouragement cards. Take a 3x5 card and write encouraging verses of Scripture on one side, and the other side write a personal word of encouragement to someone who is hurting, bereaving, going through a difficult time, or a note of thanks or congratulations for an achievement. You'll be surprised how often people are in need of a kind word. Build up one another in the Lord. It's extremely difficult to live the Christian life as a lone ranger. We need one another. The writer tells us in Hebrews that Christ is returning. Our job is to encourage one another, to build one another up in faith until the coming of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us, "And not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The day, or the day of the Lord, is in this passage of Scripture. It can mean only the last day, the ultimate eschatological day with the consummation of God's eternal purpose. The day of the Lord will be a day of judgment for some and a day of blessing for others. It all depends upon one's personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's referring to that great and glorious day of the Lord that will come like a thief in the night. It will be a time when believers are gathered together to be with Christ. The words of the Apostle Paul, a very appropriate application of this passage of Scripture in Hebrews. Both writers are burdened with how to stimulate believers to love and discipleship. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, and yet so as through fire." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. The critical question is, what is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you've never put your faith and trust in Him, this is the perfect time to do it. Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. He paid your sin debt to the righteousness of God so that you did not have to pay it. He paid it in full when He cried out from the cross, "It is finished." It was an all-sufficient sacrifice for your sins and unbelief. And now He offers you complete pardon, forgiveness, and cleansing of all sin. You do not have to face the wrath of God. If you trust Him, it's turned away. Jesus bore the full wrath of God on your behalf. what must you do to be saved? Simply ask Him to be your Savior and believe on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer. And that's also true for you and me. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. You do not have to psych yourself up to some great emotional experience. The Bible says, believe on Jesus Christ. And that's the simple trust and dependence upon Christ and His sacrifice for your sin. Jesus paid it all when He died for you on the cross. Believe on Him today and you shall be saved. I often hear people say, I'm afraid I don't have enough faith. How much faith do you need in order to be saved? The Bible does not teach that you are justified because of your faith or how much faith you have. Faith is not works. Faith is nothing more than an instrument to receive our salvation. Nowhere in the Scripture do you find that we are justified on account of our faith. The Scripture says that we are justified by faith in or through Jesus Christ. Faith is nothing but the channel by which we receive the righteousness of God in Christ, and Christ becomes ours. It is not our faith that saves us, it is Jesus Christ who saves us. What saves us is the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect saving work. It is the death of Christ upon Calvary's cross that saves us. It is God putting Christ's righteousness to our account that saves us. Faith is only the channel, the means, the instrument by which His righteousness is accounted to us. The righteousness that saves is entirely Christ's righteousness. My faith is not my righteousness. I must never define or think of faith as righteousness. Jesus Christ is the one who saves me through faith. Faith is nothing but that which connects us to the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. The whole emphasis on salvation by faith is clearly on the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. Old Spurgeon said, it does not take a strong faith to save you, just faith. The weakness of your faith will not destroy you. A trembling hand may receive a golden gift. The object of our faith is the all-important thing. Our faith must be focused upon Jesus Christ and His saving work on the cross. He died as our substitute. We must trust in Christ to save us. The righteousness that God has graciously provided becomes ours through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Faith will not earn your salvation. If it did, salvation would be through works. Faith is essential because only those individuals who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will be saved. The Apostle Paul wrote, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. Sinners are justified as a gift by grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you? If you've never done so, will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved right now, this very moment? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved right now, this very moment, regardless of where you are. Just confess to Him, I am a sinner. I've come short of the glory of God. I want Jesus Christ as my personal Savior right now. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.